Radio MD. RadioMD.com.
As a cardiologist and a chef, Dr. Michael Fenster has combined his culinary talents with cutting-edge medical expertise and insight. It's time for Code Delicious with Dr. Mike.
Hello, Food Nation, Healthy Nation. It is time once again, for culinary CPR. And I am just beside myself with joy. I've got a great friend and just one of the most amazing chefs I've come across in all my travels around the world, Chef Ted Dorsey. Now, Ted actually comes from a culinary family, and he went off to Le Cordon Bleu and launched his career in Florida at Mise en Place, which I had the great pleasure to eat at. Unfortunately, it wasn't up to snuff because he had already left and moved on to another restaurant where I did get to taste his amazing food at Boca Kitchen Bar and Market again in Tampa, St. Petersburg area. He's went on to develop menus and manage their whole collection of restaurants, Ciro's Speakeasy Supper Club, Copperfish, Seafood Grill Oyster Bar, then oversaw the dining and bar facilities at Hotel Zamora in St. Petersburg, and now he's opened his own restaurant. Finally, he's in charge of everything, and within, you know, weeks, months of opening, it won the best restaurant in Florida. And folks, let me tell you, the Tampa St. Pete area probably doesn't get the attention from the foodie world that it should. So winning this award with all the focus in food on Miami and South Beach just tells you how darn good that place is. So a big Code Delicious welcome for my friend and the only place I go to eat when I'm in the St. Petersburg area is his restaurant, Chef Ted Dorsey. Ted, thanks for being on the show.
Thank you very much for having me, Mike. It's a pleasure.
Oh, it's always a pleasure, and I actually prefer to visit you at your restaurants because then I always get to eat your food. One of the things that's always impressed me, you know, you're really, I think, you know, you don't get enough credit, you and the whole generation of young chefs that went out there and, you know, bucked the system, didn't order stuff from the food processors, did the work, you know, source this, source that, fresh local food, because it tastes good, and indirectly, and maybe directly, have sparked a whole health revolution built on this. So share with folks, if you will, a little bit your food philosophy.
Well, I think that's one of the things that separates me from other chefs, Mike, is I think that the amount of work and continued education that goes into sourcing local, sustainable, and organic products is very time-consuming. I mean, I spend probably about 20 hours a week dealing with local farmers and making sure that the products that we get are sourced local, sustainable, and organic. We write our menus, we change our menu seasonally. If tomatoes go out of season, we won't buy tomatoes. If I can't buy them from within a 250-mile radius of the restaurant, and that they're up to our quality, then we won't put them on the menu. We'll do a different dish and eliminate those items. So it is very time-consuming, but it's a lot of fun. And, you know, like I said, we deal directly with a lot of the farmers themselves. So we actually have a say in what the farmers plant for us. And that's a unique thing. Most restaurants don't do that. Most restaurants buy from the big box Cisco's, right, and the truck pulls up.
Yep.
And, you know, so we currently carry about 29 vendors. Most restaurants will carry 2, 3, 4. So it's a different approach. We've had great success with it, but it's really just about living, being in the community, wanting to eat healthier and wanting to put better products out there for people. And I think we've gotten a great response in the last 5, 6 years. It's really grown a ton.
Well, it really has. You know, people often ask me, they say, well, you know, you tell us, Dr. Mike, about this approach to food, and here's how we can eat healthy, but how do we do it when we're on the road? And one of the, you know, I've got a little advantage because I can call you up and I know where to go. And we have sort of a chef's network where we know who's doing what in different areas. But, you know, if you're heading to, say, to Tampa or St. Pete, you know, get on this little thing that's come along called the internet and look for restaurants and chefs like you that are doing that sort of thing. And, you know, go there and you're going to have this incredible meal and it's going to be incredibly good for you. And you focused on organics. And I want to highlight, because I just wrote a, I think it's in my column in Psychology Today, I believe. Folks can go there and read it. But for example, organic meats were shown to be nutritionally superior to conventionally processed meats. And this is a big deal because this is one of the first, and actually may be the first study that's starting to show there are real differences, not only in the taste, but in the healthful aspects of the food. And so that's absolutely, absolutely critical. And you've, I mean, you've not only started a food revolution, you've started a health revolution. You know, so we got to get you an honorary doctor somewhere. You got to be Dr. Chef Ted too.
That would be fun.
I think we're laughing.
It starts within the community. It's a collective effort from local restaurateurs in any city in the country to try to push the boundaries and do things differently, but do things the right way. Really break the mold.
Well, you did. You really have, and I think that really is key. And one of the other things that you do that is so different, and it's a lot more work. And I don't think, unless people have worked professionally, you know, back in the restaurant industry, to understand that a constantly changing menu is tough. When you do it seasonally, like you're doing, which is the way we were meant to eat, but you know, that's a lot of work. But as a diner, I could tell you, I love it because I never know what I'm going to get. I just know it's going to be good, and it's kind of a surprise, and that makes me happy. And we know that when we're happy, our bodies respond positively. So, you know, my hat's off to you. And as a special treat for Culinary CPR this week, you shared one of your recipes with us, which is called sweet pea hummus. And I've got to tell you, I made it the other day, and it was absolutely scrumptious, delicious. It was so good. I just built a whole meal around it, added, you know, a little charcuterie, and I brought it in for my coworkers in the cath lab, and I walked out of the room. I walked back in, and it was gone. That's how good it is. So can you walk folks through that menu for us? You know, how do they do it?
Well, we start by doing a couple of things. So dukkah is a spice blend originally founded in the Middle East, and it's really become popular in Australia. And it starts with toasting hazelnut, sesame seed, coriander, cumin. Lightly toast that, then we lightly pulse it with a little bit of what we call as gray Florida salt, so like a true salt. And then we reserve that, and then we do a pear mostardo, and it's a fresh pear, dried golden raisin.
And I'm gonna interrupt you for 1 second because you hit on one of the cornerstones that I talk about in my book on how to break the addictive nature of, you know, the fast food, the junk food, etc. You're talking about these spice blends, and they are so key. Now, spices have a lot of healthful benefits. They give us a lot of trace minerals, trace compounds, antioxidants, phytochemicals that we can get from them. But they also, you know, help us retrain and recapture our taste buds, because so much of the, I would call it the industrial food, if you will, it's just layered with salt, sugar, fat, and it ends up really causing a chemical, physiologic chemical change in our bodies where we become addicted to that. And something like this, and it was, you know, actually a spice blend I was unfamiliar with. It's one of my favorites now, and people can vary it, right? I had to vary it because of a nut allergy, so I couldn't use hazelnuts, but I used some pine nuts. So folks can play with this a little bit, right, Chef?
Oh, absolutely, and that's really what cooking is about. I mean, that's probably why I'm so great at cooking and not so great at pastries, because it's a little bit more of a science. So with cooking, you can take away, you can add, you can throw stuff in and taste it and season it as you go. With baking and pastries, that is not the case. So, you know,
I'm with you there. Pastry chefs are a different breed.
Oh, yes, they are. And again, it kind of comes back to what we were originally talking about. This country has lost it. What is important about food is sourcing the best products you can and letting the product speak for itself. Don't over manipulate it. Don't do too much to it. Just let the great product shine through.
Yeah. And you know, when you order something that's industrial, it's bland, it's tasteless, right? That's when you have to add these horrible, you know, 42 ingredient sauces and, you know, all this other stuff. But you're talking about, hey, it's fresh, It's organic. It's going to be good for me. And it's going to have this little thing we call flavor. So you're just enhancing it. You know, you're just kind of dressing it up a little bit. And so tell us about the Mustardo, because this was absolutely, I think, a stroke of genius, you know, to have this with the hummus. And also, you know, folks, it shows you that you can do things with stuff like dried fruit besides having to just put them in a fruit cake.
Yes, yes. I mean, so basically what we do is we put all of our fresh pear and our dried fruits in a small pot, and we cook it off just lightly to release all the natural flavors that's within the dried fruit and the fresh fruit. And all those juices start pouring out. Sometimes, depending on which way we want to go, sometimes we'll use brandy or we'll use a different liqueur. But we stew all that down almost to a chutney or marmalade, if you will. We sweeten it with a little bit of our natural local honeycomb.
Ooh, yeah.
And then from there, we just reduce it to off sec. And all those bold flavors are so pronounced at that point that it pairs really well with the sweet pea hummus. The sweet pea hummus is a puree of local fresh sweet peas, and we put in a tad of chickpea just to achieve that traditional hummus texture, if you will. So it's very vibrant and green in color, but it still has that nice balance of the chickpea hummus flavor.
And, you know, one of the, for folks, au sec means almost all the liquid has evaporated. So that's chef speak for, like, let the liquid get out of there. And one of the things that, again, I think is great is you're not pouring all this refined sugar in there. And, you know, one of the things that I try to convey to people when we're talking about healthful eating is, you know, you can use some sweeteners. Definitely use salt to enhance the flavor, but use some redeeming sweeteners and things like honey, which for a long time was used as a medicine. It's got a whole gamut of health benefits. There's a wide range of flavors, even things like brown sugar that have molasses, you know, added to it. So it's got manganese and some fiber and some magnesium. And they've also got a depth of flavor to them as well. And what I loved about this Mustardo is, since we're using some dried fruits, it's something that we could pretty much have year round. Would you agree with that? Even though we vary our menu seasonally, this is kind of a condiment that you can always whip up.
Oh, you can have it year round, and you can use any kinds of fruit or dried fruit in it that you want. One of my favorite fruits of all time is just coming back around now down here for us, is the Pluot, which is a plum and apricot hybrid. And you know, you can do things like that, and you can use anything you want. You know, one of my favorite sweeteners that we've been having a lot of fun with now is sorghum. Most people don't use sorghum. A lot of people don't even know what sorghum is or that it even exists.
Tell our listeners what it is.
Well, sorghum is very similar in the family to maple syrup. It's a natural sweetener. When using natural sweeteners as opposed to refined sugars, like you were talking about, there's all different avenues that we can do, that we can add, and we can change the flavors. You know, one of the best things that we've done is caramelizing. You know, when you can caramelize sorghum or maple syrup and things like that, but sorghum is derived from the cane. So it's a natural sweetener, and it's fun, it's different, nobody's really using it right now, and I think you're going to start to see a resurgence of sorghum coming up here in the next few years.
You know what's really interesting, and my book that's coming out this summer, Ancient Eats, focuses on the ancient cuisine of the Greeks and the Vikings. I'm already working on volume 2, which includes the Egyptians. And most people don't realize that the Egyptians were great bakers. They had over 40 different types of breads, and they were master brewers. The pyramids were literally sort of built on, I like to call it the Egyptian food pyramid, foie gras, beer, and bread. And yep. One of the first beers, what they would have made because of the natural sugars, would have been a sorghum beer. Now, I think I may have seen one somewhere. Have you guys thought about maybe doing a little home brew with some of the local breweries there and doing an ancient Egyptian sorghum beer?
We actually have. I've worked with a couple of local breweries here in St. Petersburg to put out some unique brews. We, you know, because I can source sorghum locally here, fresh sorghum, We're actually using it in other things and in distilling processes for alcohol as well.
Oh, I love the way you think, and that's really exciting. So we'll have to get together sometime. We'll work on the recipe for when Ancient Eats with the Volume 2 with the Egyptian comes out. We'll have to have a sorghum meal and a sorghum-based some breads and stuff and celebrate down at the mill. And I want to make sure that we get that in. So, folks, if you are traveling and you are looking for delicious and healthful and food that will blow your mind, you want to visit Chef Ted at the mill. So, Chef, can you tell folks where you are exactly and how they can get reservations, get in contact with you?
Absolutely. We are right in the heart of downtown St. Petersburg. The mill is located at 200 Central Avenue, St. Petersburg, Florida, zip code 33701. We are right in the heart of downtown St. Pete, so we get a ton of foot traffic. You can follow us on Facebook at The Mill. You can also check out our website at www.themillbtsp, which is the abbreviation for downtownstpete.com.
And do you have a sample menu up there on the website? Great. Yeah, so folks, you definitely want to check that out. And even if you're not going to be there, but you want to be inspired by one of the most amazing young chefs in the country, just take a look at what Chef Ted is doing, and it'll blow your minds. But I have to warn you, you will probably start salivating as well. So, you know, that's the caveat there. So, Chef, tell us a little bit. You know, I know you're so busy with the mill, but you got some other irons in the fire. So what else is going on?
We do. We actually have several other things we're working on. We're working on launching a product line where you'll be able to buy some of our signature items through purveyors as well as online. We're going to look to launch that here in October. So I will put that out for everybody. We're also working on a couple other restaurant concepts here for downtown St. Petersburg. The area of St. Pete is just going through this massive boom, and it's growing so quickly. It's just a great place to live and work, and so we're excited. We've got so many things going on. It's just unreal, and this year's been a whirlwind. Like you said, the Golden Spoon Award for Best New Restaurant in the state. We got a pre-nomination for a James Beard, which is huge. We did not get a nomination, but I'll take a pre-nom for not even being open a year.
Hey, congratulations on that. That is some kudos, because that is a tough cut to make. And as I was saying earlier, folks, you have to understand it. And you definitely want to visit St. Pete, not only for the restaurant and visit Chef Ted, but St. Pete has wonderful beaches. So, you know, you can get out on the Gulf of Mexico. But Chef is competing with, you know, I think the food-centric focus in Florida is always, and clearly undeservedly so, you know, on South Beach and Miami and this and that. And so, Chef, you know, your ability to pull off that victory for the little guy there, doing all the right things, again, congratulations, and well-earned, well-deserved.
Thank you very much, Mike. I greatly appreciate it.
And what are the concepts that you've got coming down the pike? Because you said a couple other restaurants, so you've got me interested now.
We're doing a bar concept that'll have really interesting bar food, and then we're also launching a breakfast concept that is very unique and very kind of sticks with what my food philosophy is. And that'll be breakfast and lunch 7 days a week, and then 3 nights we'll keep it open and do late night dining as well.
So you're going to be the savior, because you know I remember my days in the kitchen. You know, we're done about 2 o'clock in the morning, and then we got to go get ourselves fed. So
exactly, and to be able to offer something healthy and late at night, other than, you know, your normal choices of your fast food and your pizzas and that kind of stuff, is going to be key to this area.
Well, Chef, thanks so much for helping us out with a little culinary CPR today. Got to have you back on. It's been an absolute pleasure. Thanks again, Chef.
Thank you very much. Talk to you soon. Thank you.